Well, it's great to see you, Miss Tisha. You look beautiful and tan, and clearly you are enjoying your summer.
Well, I'm trying. The weather is weird this summer.
It is.
Yeah.
It's like rainy and...
Yeah, it's weird. We were on Block Island last week. We had a great time, but we definitely had some weird weather. Mm-hmm. I've been going out there for 20 years, and this was strange weather. It was still good, but it was different.
Well, you definitely had some sun at some point.
Oh, yeah.
That tan is absolutely fabulous.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And how's your summer going?
It's chugging along, mm-hmm. You know, getting ready for the start of the school year. And
the summer's gone by. This is the fastest summer ever, I think. I don't... Yeah. But regardless, we have another great segment coming up on our parent perspective. This is the transition from elementary to middle school.
Correct. And our guest is Chris Mara. Interestingly enough, we actually grew up together and went to school together. So, just happen to live in the same town now. And he is going to be telling us about his son, Jonathan, who's on the spectrum, mm-hmm. and his experiences with middle school. So I'm really excited to get right into it. I think Chris is going to give us a really honest look at Jonathan's middle school years.
Awesome. So let's get Chris in here and we'll get going.
Sounds good.
All right, Chris. So you're in the hot seat right now. I can't wait to hear all your awesome feedback about the middle school year perspective. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your son, Jonathan?
Absolutely. So my name is Chris Mara, and I have a wife, Carolyn Mara, and our son, Jonathan, is almost 15 years old. He is going to be going into freshman year at Valley Regional High School in Deep River. We've lived in Deep River now for about 13 years. We moved here when Jonathan was about 2.5, and Jonathan was diagnosed shortly after we moved to Deep River to be on the autism spectrum. And, you know, being as it was such a young age, we didn't really know where it was going to go because no one really does. Mm-hmm. And we found, you know, through going through elementary school and going through the process of learning about all the different services that were available both at the school and, you know, away from the school, that we were probably in a pretty good school district to begin with. We had known that the LA Regional, you know, Region 4 was a good school district in terms of like academics and everything else, which is one of the reasons why we moved there. Having moved there at that time, we didn't know that the services for special needs were going to be something that was going to be also really, you know, a great component of being part of that community. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we went through elementary school. Jonathan had a couple of great teachers. He had a couple of teachers who had challenges, you know, that were beyond their control, not with him, but with just the circumstances. By the time Jonathan was in about third grade, I think it was, or fourth grade, he was the only child really on the spectrum mm-hmm. at Deep River Elementary. So
identified on
the spectrum.
Good point.
So he ended up going to Essex Elementary for his last couple of years of elementary school because they had other kids there and they had an actual designated classroom where he would go to that classroom for, you know, a few hours a day. He would go to the mainstream classrooms with his peers for a little bit, and it just worked out well where there was a little sense of community.
Okay. So it sounds like the elementary years went fairly smooth as I guess you can say.
Yeah, they went pretty well. You know, we had, you know, typical things that you would hear from a parent with a child on the spectrum.
Yep.
Med changes and challenges like that. Challenges with, you know, potty training and all those mm-hmm. things. But he did get through all that pretty well, which was great.
So you finally mastered the elementary school years, and now we're going to throw a monkey wrench in that, and it's time for middle school.
Yes.
How did you guys even think about planning for that? Like, what'd you do? Did they approach you and say, hey, listen, this is what we should do? Like, walk us through that. Because I honestly have no idea, and I'm sure it must have been really overwhelming.
Did your middle school, your elementary go to fourth or fifth grade?
So our elementary school is supposed to go to sixth.
Oh, okay.
We do K through six in Region 4.
Okay.
And what ended up happening was because Jonathan was with these peers in Essex Elementary, they were all a grade above him. Probably about his same age because he was, you know, his September birthday, so he's a little mm-hmm. older than the kids in his grade. And what they decided was, we think it would be best if Jonathan went to sixth grade a year early. Academically, it was not going to change much. He has a special IEP, so it didn't really matter. And academically, he's so far behind fifth and sixth that it wouldn't have made a difference one way or the other. And it was an option. It wasn't, you have to do this. It was, mm-hmm. you should do this because he'll either be with kids who are a year older than him, or he'll be with a bunch of kids who are 4 or 5 years younger than him, and he may not love that.
Oh, wow.
So
that's a big difference.
Yes, yeah. It was a huge difference, and it ended up being a good decision, I think, in terms of, you know, him having at least a smaller group of peers to be with.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Of course, the monkey wrench, as we were talking about, that did come in, that's a rare one, is that Jonathan was in fifth grade in the spring of 2020. So when COVID hit, we were making these decisions before then to transition
right.
to sixth grade. It did become somewhat of a unique situation where, okay, now we're not even in school. So the transition from him going from fourth, basically, to sixth is going to be a big
right.
jump. And, or no, sorry, from fifth to seventh. He was in fifth grade. He would go from fifth to seventh. It was already going to be a big jump. And now you've got this once-in-a-lifetime, hopefully,
mm-hmm.
once-in-a-lifetime
yeah.
unique situation where we have, you know, no school for the end of, you know, his
yep.
fifth grade year. So there's no ceremony. There's no anything. And that was not a big deal anyway. He's not a big ceremony person. But that transition was so unknown going into seventh grade, not just for him, but for everybody.
Everybody, yeah.
So the school really walks you through, you know, they you're supposed to go and visit. We had already visited JW. Jonathan had already visited JW. So they send you for a visit. You meet the teachers. You do all these things to prepare you for this is what's going to happen. A lot of that happened on Zoom because
yeah.
you couldn't go to the school
right.
at that point in time and meet teachers. So, but we did end up finally getting to school, I think, in the fall of 2020. At least it started that way. I remember they did shut the schools down, but they continued to allow him and his class to go. It was a small group of kids. It was
mm-hmm.
maybe five or six kids. And they said, look, you have to be here because the Zoom thing is not going to work for
right.
you.
Yeah.
It just was so difficult a few weeks we did it because, you know, as it is, you've got the attention deficit disorder that, to be fair, every boy has.
Yeah.
But that you have that. Then you have this whole, you know, you have all these other kids on the screen that you don't even know.
Right.
So there's no connections there. It's
yeah.
very difficult. And then even when he had one-on-one time with his teachers, it was tough. Us homeschooling him was humorous at best.
Yeah.
So it was, when the phone call came in, listen, we're going to allow your class to go back to school. There's going to be five
yeah.
of you as long as
mm-hmm.
you're ready to go. We were all for it. And it made a world of difference for him, even just to be there with the five kids
yeah.
or so and be masked, which was
just
great.
Just a change of scenery. And
exactly.
Then they have that routine.
Right.
So how long did that last for?
I think it lasted for about a half a year.
Okay.
I think by like the new year, maybe, you know, even by Christmas time, I think they might have sent the kids back. Honestly, it's such a blur at this
point
in
right.
time.
I totally
it's just,
get
you know,
it. Yeah.
I remember not being able to go places and then finally being able to go
yeah.
and then finally having the vaccine and being like, this
yeah.
is great. So
well, we were saying our timelines are so off. We can't remember.
Yeah.
We're like, yeah.
everything is pre and post
mm-hmm.
basically. But the other unique thing that Jonathan experienced is that he was going to go to middle school for 3 years where most kids only went for two.
Right.
So that was interesting because he was constantly waiting for the kids who were in his class to get up and catch
oh,
up to him.
Oh, okay.
Well, my friends from
yes.
Burr are going to be here. My friends from Essex are going to be here. So
yeah.
it was always this anticipation. I would say the biggest challenge during the transition as we segue into, you know, the next portion of this is that the difference between elementary school and middle school for a typical kid is awkward.
Yeah.
The difference between elementary school and middle school for a, you know, 14-year-old, 13-year-old, 12-year-old child on the spectrum is massive.
Yeah.
And the changes are not just that you're all going through this awkward phase of, you know, puberty and whatever else. It's that the social piece
mm-hmm.
yeah.
changes immensely.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in second grade or third grade and you're a kid on the spectrum who may be able to have conversations or whatever, it doesn't matter. Everybody's all friends and
mm-hmm.
you all go to, you know, houses for parties or whatever. When you get to 13, 12, 14 years old, there's a change. Kids want to hang out with who they want to hang out with. And
yeah.
there does become this social hierarchy, if you want to call it that or whatever. And he struggled with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Add to that, that COVID made everyone
mm-hmm.
more socially impaired, I would say.
It was isolating.
Because
yeah.
it was
yeah.
isolating.
Yeah.
So now you've got all these kids in this one, you know, group of who probably just almost not want to say terrified, but they were socially awkward because they had no interaction. And then they're making this transition into, you know, oh my God, I feel like more like a man, I'm more like a woman. And then you have all these other kids who are, okay, I'm here, this is great, and I get to come out and do
mm-hmm.
whatever. And then for Jonathan, it was, he was already kind of in the middle school, so he thought, this is great, I have, you know, a year, I can show people, and he did. But then it becomes, I want to have lunch with these kids. Well, they might not want to have lunch with you.
Exactly.
You know? And then the educational piece to that is that, you know, while everybody else is starting to do more learning, depending on the the kid, I guess, for Jonathan, it was that, you know, he was still basically working on like, well, okay, what's 5 times 5? You know, 25.
Right.
That's what he can handle. He learns more, but it wasn't the jump you see with like, well, now you're going to learn social studies is going to be a thing and science is going to be a thing. For him, it was a brief thing, you know. For mm-hmm. him, French is just a class to go to where he's going to learn a few phrases and a few things and watch some movies and have some fun. But French is not him walking out of French and
right.
having a conversation with somebody. So
I remember having
yeah.
that conversation about, because I was in North Haven and my son, the same thing. And I remember having the conversation. I'm like, yeah, he's not going to do a foreign language. Like, what's the point? You know,
yeah.
like, so I remember.
Yeah. yeah.
It's a whole, it is middle school, just the typical middle school years are
Are hard.
Yeah,
they
are.
I don't. I mean, I have good memories of middle school, and
yeah.
I have awful memories of middle school, and it's just an awkward time.
Yeah.
So for special needs, it's you know, double your money. It's
on steroids.
It's on steroids. Mm-hmm. Exactly. The one interesting thing too that starts to happen as, and I don't know if you experience this too, is that as your child with who's autistic gets older, the outside services become more difficult,
mm-hmm.
and the school can still do what they're doing, but then you start to think to yourself, okay, the school's been doing this all along, and we've also had to get, like, ABA, for example, outside the school. And then, you know, the school will go, like, he doesn't really need ABA, and you're like, well,
mm-hmm.
I agree, he doesn't,
right.
but he needs something.
Right.
So he was actually lucky enough to be the only eighth grader in unified sports at the high school.
Mm-hmm.
So for the whole last year, he would go and do unified sports twice a week at the high school, and he knows all those kids now, which is great, but there's not a ton
no.
for 13, 14, 12-year-olds, when he was 9 or 8, first of all, it was easier to find things for him to do.
Yes.
Secondly, he had to go to services. So 3 or 4 times a week, he would go to, you know,
mm-hmm.
Madison to go to, I can't think of the name of the place, but, you know, he would go and have ABA 3 or 4 times a week. And that they're actually the people who really got him to, like, learn how to cut his food and
right.
learn how to potty train and all that stuff, which was fantastic. But there's still more to learn, and that this age is tough. Once he, I think it's 15, 16, they'll be different opportunities, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, middle school is definitely one of those, you know, places where reality kind of hits really fast
yeah.
and you're like, okay, well now we've got much less. So.
Chris, how did you help him? Cause those, I think a lot of parents do that with their kids. Like you get into the middle school years and there's so much pressure and there's peer pressure. And then you see like cliques and different groups forming of kids. How did you work with Jonathan to get through that? Because it must've been really challenging.
The interesting part is that the teacher was really aware of his behavioral challenges that he had, and as well be aware of his desire to have like those typical friends.
Yeah.
And again, this came
mm-hmm.
much more to a head this past year because the kids who he knew were gone. They were in high school. And then the two younger kids who came up were younger and he didn't really want to hang out with them as much. He wants to hang out with his eighth grade friends.
Mm-hmm.
So what ends up happening is there's this struggle. This is what you can handle. This is what you can't handle. This is what you can handle. This is what you can't handle. And he had a tough time. And part of that tough time is, you know, hormonal and puberty
yeah.
and just, you
yep.
know, he's all like, oh, I like this girl. I mean, there's 58 girls we like.
Right, right.
And, you know, it's
typical 14-year-old
boy. 14-year-old
boy.
Yeah, you know, so.
Right.
But his interaction with them is so awkward at this point. And he also still thinks it's, you know, third grade.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
used to play. We used to hang out together all the time in third grade.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, they're in eighth grade now. So,
right.
And it's hard to see that through the lens of a mature 14-year-old when your maturity level is approximately 7 or 8.
Yep.
So it does become a challenge. And, you know, for everybody, the one thing I always tell people when we talk about Jonathan and autism is when people say, you know, oh, well, I have a friend who's got a child who's autistic. And I'm like, well, you probably do. And it's basically like you saying my fingerprints are the same as your fingerprints. I have a friend's
yep.
fingerprints.
Right.
It's so different for
so
everybody.
Different, right.
There is no two. You can have similarities. You can certainly commiserate with similarities
mm-hmm.
and certain things, but that's why they call it a spectrum.
Right.
It's not, you know, you've got the flu, here are your symptoms. It's,
that's a really great
it's
point.
It's super,
right.
super big. So for him, there are plenty of people who, and I think they're trying to make a compliment, but it isn't. You know, I would never know he was on the spectrum just talking to him.
Oh,
now.
I get that.
Yeah.
Well, we got that all the time.
And I'm like, ask what he wants to do,
yes.
you know, this afternoon. And when he
yes.
tells you he wants to watch Rory or Peppa Pig,
yeah.
you're going to figure out really quick that he's on the spectrum. And these are part of the challenges that come up in middle school is from in the span of 3 years, it goes really quick to kids who like play with toys and
yeah,
will be
yep.
whatever to, I want to watch YouTube and go to, you know, the movies with my friends
mm-hmm.
and, you know, then you have, again, in certain eighth grade situations, you have, we're going to try cigarettes and we're going to try alcohol you know, we're going to, you know, whatever, do what boys and girls do in eighth grade. And he doesn't understand any of that.
Right.
You know, he would never in a million years understand any of that. And the kids being kind to him are certainly great things. But, you know, the struggle is that he mistakes kindness sometimes for they really like me. They want to hang out with me. And I'm like,
you nailed it.
You know,
yes.
they may want to hang out with you and say hi to you here at school for 5 minutes.
Right.
But you're not going to go to their house.
Right.
You're not going to hang out. Now, here's his problem. And this, I don't know if you experienced this, but we're like, hey, why don't you invite this boy over or that boy over there? You know them from Unified Sports.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hang out with kids with autistic, who's special needs. I'm like,
yeah.
You know, and part of me is like, yeah,
my
like,
son, my son is 24 years old and he just started saying, well, I'm on the spectrum at 24.
Wow. Yeah.
So, and it just came out of the blue one day and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, so 100%, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because there's a real big part of me that just wants to smack him for that because I'm like, look, you know, that we and again, he can't comprehend. I said, the way you feel about them is the way you feel bad when people feel that way about you.
Yeah.
You see how that's not fair.
Right.
And no, he doesn't, you know, just like he doesn't see that, you know, a lot of things aren't fair.
Right.
A lot of things because he can't make that connection. And that's where he is.
Did you have were there any bullying issues in the middle school years?
But luckily, no. Mm-hmm. If anything, the behavioral issues were more him actually not being able to handle a couple of situations and having to be removed from certain peers because he was just a little too, you know, I don't want to use the word obsessed.
Yeah.
You know, he really couldn't get over the, we were friends in 2017.
Right.
You were 9 then. You know, it is 2022. You are now 14 or whatever it is, you know, and now you're not going to be friends because they don't want to be. And it's not they don't want to be friends with you. It's just, you know, we have these conversations. What are you going to talk about?
Right.
You talk about how you watched, you know, Kinder Egg surprise videos for 45 minutes last
right.
night. You know, this is, and the real interesting part, and I'm sure you experienced this too, is no matter how many times you tell them, if you want to even have a little bit of these connections, you have to move forward and try to be a little more like kids your age. It doesn't happen.
It doesn't, right.
I mean,
he has
probably sat through maybe 5 hours combined of a movie that is not animated.
Right.
And 2 of those hours was Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Mm-hmm.
And everything
great
else.
Movie.
Is, yep,
yeah.
Great movie. But then everything else is a half an hour of let's watch Back to the Future. I'm bored. I'm leaving.
Right.
You know, let's watch this. I'm bored. And these are movies that, you know, even like we try to get and watch Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
5, and we made the mistake. My mom had passed away from cancer about a year, like about 2 years ago. And we talked about Guardians of the Galaxy. And the first scene in there is his mother dying cancer. And he got all upset. I don't want to watch this. That's Nona sick. And I'm like,
right.
We couldn't fast forward that one scene. I didn't have the foresight. But that's what triggers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to watch this. Or loud noises or people yelling. Whatever the trigger is in real life.
And he's comfortable with what he's comfortable with.
Yes, exactly.
So,
yep. So
right.
Know, but that is the challenge with the peer relationships is that, you know, and we had a tough summer as it was, but, you know, going into high school now, it's the same thing where I want to eat lunch with my friends from 9th grade. And I'm like, I'm sure you do. What are you going to talk about?
Right.
They're going to be sitting there talking about what they're going to do Friday night, whose house they're going to sleep over and which boys they like, which girls they like.
Yeah.
And you're going to be talking about Peppa Pig.
Yeah.
It's not really going to work out for you.
Right. So tell us some positive things. What are some positive experiences you had with middle school?
So the positives were, number one, the teachers are great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had a great teacher. Dina Monaco was a teacher. And she had a super tough couple of years. She lost her husband when Jonathan was there. And obviously COVID was not an easy thing to go through. And she never blinked. And she had him for the 3 years she had him. And she was fantastic. His aide was fantastic, Mr. Dan. He was with him for 3 years. They were both just fantastic people to work with. And I mean, he pushed them. And a lot of teachers would have looked at some of the negatives and said, you know, this is really unacceptable. But she understood he's going through puberty. He's going through growth spurts. He's got all these challenges with interacting with people. If he literally would throw a Chromebook at me, you know, and she's like, look, he threw a Chromebook at me. He missed. He threw a Chromebook at me and hit my arm. I'm fine. I'm not going to run to the principal and say, this kid needs to get out of this school. I'm going to understand.
Right.
He doesn't understand how to articulate his frustration. So that's what he does. He's always immediately sorry. Mm-hmm. And they understood that stuff. And they understood how to redirect them. And, you know, he would have his Chromebook. He would try to go somewhere. And she would be looking at the screen on a different computer. And she'd be like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
So they really helped him kind of get through this whole process of the worst 3 years academically that every kid goes through the best they could. And they never, again, never wavered, never once, you know, we would say things like, do you think he needs to be here? She said, he's fine. Mm-hmm. He's doing great. And she would always shine lights exactly on the positives, no matter how many times she would say, look, he did this thing the other day where we just pulled him away, redirected him, you know, and it was never anything horrible. It was just things they wanted to avoid, things that we were trying to, you know, push him away from behaviorally. He did great. And, you know, the school allowing him to do unified sports last year, fantastic.
Yeah.
He also has a lot of kids who look out for him.
Yes.
And
that's awesome.
Maybe they're not, quote unquote, going to be his friends, mm-hmm. you know, but they've all known him for a long time. And one of the cool things about his academic experience is he went to Deep River Elementary in Essex. And our school feeds from three towns.
Yes.
So, and you know, probably Chester's the smallest. So.
Yeah.
You know, there's a smaller pool of kids from Chester, but he has all these kids, and maybe they're not going to be the kids who are going to be like, do you want to come out on Friday night? But they're going to be the kids who, Jonathan, are you sure you should be doing that? Jonathan, you don't do that. And that's where, you know, you had mentioned the bullying thing. No, mm-hmm. there's never been an issue. There was, even when he was in elementary school, there was a couple of kids who were like, you know, I remember one of the teachers saying to us, you know, no, nobody's ever going to go near him like mm-hmm. that. You know, I can't remember which kid it was. Like, you know, Eli will never let that happen. You know, he's going to look out for him. And that's nice. You know, he had an incident where he had a YouTube page and he was putting up these animated videos. One of them mentioned one of the kids who he liked and, you know, just a crazy video that made no sense. So one of the other girls in the school went to the teacher and said, you know, I think Jonathan's doing something wrong. And then he actually said to her, you know, did you see my YouTube video? And she said, are you allowed to do this?
Right.
Should your parents say this is okay? So these kids were really there to kind of get his back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he doesn't understand how to appreciate that because
mm-hmm.
for him, it's like, well, they don't want to have lunch with me. And maybe some of them would.
Right.
And that's the thing. The problem is, can you handle it?
Right.
Or do you think having lunch with, you know, person A and person B means they like you a lot?
Right.
You know, so it's trickier more from his perspective than it is from theirs, where they are more, they would say, sure, have lunch with us, but if you can't handle it, then that's the problem is you, not them. So
right,
I don't
right.
know if that's a similar thing you experienced, but yeah, it's definitely,
yeah.
you know. So no, but I have nothing but good things to say about our school system. I hear from friends and see things online and some of the parent groups I'm in about the nightmares people have in
yeah.
schools. And, you know, Knockwood will have a great, we know the teacher already. She's the unified sports coach.
Oh, that's
so we already
awesome.
Know who he's going
mm-hmm.
to see in high school. So it's really going to be a nice smooth transition for him, we hope. So
what you're saying is so important because when I thought about this podcast, I'm thinking that there's team meetings and teams that are really going to help with this transition from elementary into middle school. But your perspective about the puberty side of it and the social aspect seems actually even more important than the school, you know, the school part of
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
And I hope our listeners, you know, they get some of this insight because it would be helpful for them to be prepared for that.
Yes, absolutely. And because I think, and this is because we're in a great school system, but
yeah.
I probably take for granted that you're going to have a great social worker. You're going to have a great psychologist. It's going to be fine because we've never had issues with that.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, his psychologist or a social worker at John Winthrop was fantastic. When we had that Zoom meeting in 2020 and we met everybody, we were like, this could be a great team. And so for that, I don't think we've ever had really any huge issues. And we had a teacher who was struggling with him in elementary school because he was always alone. She was crying. She was like, I don't know what else to do. And we felt bad. That's when he moved to Essex. And she wasn't our favorite teacher, but she cared about him.
Yeah.
No one's ever not.
Right.
And I think from a community standpoint, where a lot of people going from that jump to whether it's fourth to, you know, fifth and sixth, and, you know, Guilford mm-hmm. has, you know, the two middle schools basically, or some do K through five and then 6, 7, 8. Those 6, 7, 8 years are a challenge. I would say more than 70% of it is the social piece.
They're all trying to figure it out.
They're all trying to figure it out, and they're still stuck in, you know, watch Sesame Street this afternoon.
Yeah,
so
right.
it's a challenge.
So what would be, in closing, you know, your top pieces of advice for parents that are going from the transition from elementary to middle school?
have a strong liver. Have a strong liver, maybe a tab at the local package
store. Yeah.
You know, I think the biggest piece of advice besides that that I could give people is, you know, maybe just really have a good handle on your emotions and try not to take it personally, the things that are going to happen to your kid, because it's hard. You're going to have a lot of, look, every middle school kid is going to have a lot of heartbreak. We can all remember growing up and having that first boyfriend or girlfriend. I remember very vividly in sixth grade crying on my mom's shoulder when my first quote unquote girlfriend broke up with me after 3 weeks of nothing.
Right.
But you know, so just take that and multiply it by probably a lot of heartache. And the heartache difference is that it's almost like this constant flow of just, you know, something that's unfulfilled, really. It's not like he came home crying every day from middle school. There were moments, but more than everything, it was just, you know, constant like flow of, I really wish we could have a friend over. I really wish we could do this. And the friends I suggest he doesn't want, and the friends he wants don't want to come here.
Right.
I can't take that personally. If I was an eighth grade boy or an eighth grade girl in this town looking to hang out with friends, I don't know that I'd want to talk about Peppa Pig all the time.
Right.
Or I don't know if I'd want to have the friend over who, if we don't do exactly what they want, is going to go, I'm done, and walk out of the room. It's a struggle. Would I look out for that person? Absolutely. But do I want to, you know, and that's the trick, is that it's not about necessarily the kids in the school not, you know, being nice or whatever. God forbid that happens somewhere else. That's awful. We've never had that. But it's about, it's a tough road. And you have to just not be invested in like this. I can't believe these kids wouldn't do that. Of course they're not. You know, and you have to look at it from their point of view. And Jonathan's had some blowups. And he's had some struggles. And he's great. He should be grateful that the kids still talk to him and still say hi to him and still do all that stuff. So if he was a non-typical kid and he did some of those things, he'd be a pariah.
Yeah,
so,
right.
But yeah, don't take it personally. You know, just really kind of bear down and just do the best you can to keep your son or daughter happy. And, you know, when you need help, ask.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the biggest thing. Need help, ask. If you're not getting the help you need, find a way to get it.
Yeah.
We've been very lucky. I've never had to like call an advocate or call a lawyer, but not everybody is that lucky.
Right.
So if you feel like you're not getting something in the school system that you need, call the advocate.
There's resources.
Call
211.
Yep.
They'll help you. There's a lot of free resources out there.
Yes.
And you don't have to do it alone.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just reaching out to another parent.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. That's
yeah.
a good point.
Yeah.
You know, and that could be the first step. You know, I remember one time I was talking with a parent. They came to a conference we were doing, and she's like, and her child was probably like 12 or 13. And she's like, this is my first event coming, and I feel so guilty I haven't done something sooner. I go, but you're here now.
Yeah.
So what? You're here now, you know, and you're going to, you know, and we used to, at the beginning of the conference, we would say, okay, your homework today is to get a phone number from another parent so you could connect with each other, because
that's
great. No one gets it.
Yeah.
You know? No one.
And people will say all the time, oh, you must be really tough. Like, you know, like, I don't say there's a mean thing.
Right.
You can't know. You know, you just can't know.
Right.
And again, you and I can talk about how we have similar experiences.
Right.
I can't possibly know. I can know more.
Yes.
I just can't know everything.
Yes.
It's just so, so hard.
Yeah.
So, but I would say that, having a parent, even network is great.
Mm-hmm.
In our town, we moved here, and then within 2 years, we went to our first meeting in Tri-Town Services. And there was a bunch of parents there, and it was great. And then that was the only one they ever had.
Yeah.
It was really very weird.
Yeah.
And it wasn't anybody's fault. It was just, And we always say, we should try to get that started again.
Yeah.
You know, something
it
like
really
that.
It really does
really
help.
Helpful. Yeah.
Yeah, it really does. But, you know, thank you so much for taking the time and coming here and talking to us and being part of our Parent Perspective series. And the best of luck starting high school.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you. We will definitely all need that.
Yeah.
So
maybe we'll have you back in a couple of years and you can give us an update.
Talk about the high school
perspective.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure that'll be fun.
Yeah. So thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks
for having me. Appreciate it.
Raw, genuine, honest feedback. Very much appreciated.
Thanks.
As always, you can find our podcast on Podbean, Stitcher, Google Podcast, Spotify, and Sarah Inc.'s website. Our podcast is designed to help you find the resources you need for children and adults with intellectual and or developmental disabilities or delays. If you have a topic you want to learn more about, let us know. We would love to hear from you.